Okay, it's good to be back, Baruch Hashem. We try to do Yisoidistik and Yonim on Fridays. We don't say Divrei Torah, but we try to get to the kishkas of the basics in Yiddishkeit from the Parsha. And this is somewhat of a challenging task in Tazria Mitzorah because, these are heavy Parshias with so many dinim of Mitzorah, but of course Tzaras is famous for being caused by what Avera? Lashon Hara. And the truth is that it's really amazing. Not too often do you have a topic in the Torah that was put on the map by an individual at a later point in time. You know, there are 613 mitzvahs, they're all things we have to do. And it's rare that something becomes well-known late in history. However, the Chafetz Chaim made such a big deal of Lashon Hara. He wrote a Musar Sefer for Lashon Hara. He wrote Halachas of Lashon Hara. And it could have been a topic that we would have heard about, encountered one or two times in the Torah. You can learn the whole Parshas Tazria Mitzorah. And you know that it's talking about people who spoke Lashon Hara, but it doesn't really go in that much because the Psukim don't talk about it, right? The only time that really the Torah talks about Lashon Hara somewhat explicitly is by Aaron and Miriam, right? Aaron and Miriam spoke about their brother Moshe Rabbeinu and Lefim Madregasim, according to their level of Tzidkus, there was Lashon Hara over there, and Miriam became a mitzaras. She got a tzaras. But it's an amazing thing if you think about it. It's so obvious to us. Everybody knows about Lashon Hara. If you would try to picture the world without the Chafetz Chaim, how much would people really know about Lashon Hara? It could be that people who don't do Shnayim Mikra regularly or don't learn Daf Yomi maybe wouldn't even know what the words Lashon Hara mean. That's something fascinating to think about. How famous were the words Lashon Hara in Klal Yisrael before the Chafetz Chaim? But it's an amazing thing. He made a whole Shulchan Aruch on something that there was no material on. And by the time he was done, he brought it to the highest levels. Now, of course, everyone knew about it, but it's something to think about. I always wonder what the world would look like without the Chafetz Chaim in so many ways. The Mishnah Brura, he was the Posek Achron. Obviously, Hashem sent him to this world with a lot to do, and I don't know if everyone knows this, but the Chafetz Chaim is very important in Kudshim. Also, the Chafetz Chaim wrote a running perish on Kudshim, where he writes Piskei Halacha, a psak for what should be in the Beis Hamikdash in Bayis Shlishi. And if you're learning Kudshim, it's an unbelievable thing. It's hard to imagine that a person accomplished so much in his life he was doing literally everything. But Lashon Hara was from his biggest things. Also, it's very humbling how simple the Chafetz Chaim's books are. We always, today, we're very into Machshava, Kabbalah. Everybody likes deep, deep, deep. The Chafetz Chaim wrote many, many Sfarim with very simple messages. And I always wonder how he had the patience, being the big person that he was, how he had the patience to write such simple messages. The answer is that he devoted his life to the Tzibur. The Chafetz Chaim, when he wrote things, he didn't write them for himself. He wrote them for others. In fact, I wasn't even planning on talking about the Chafetz Chaim, but this is just the way it goes. It's important to talk about the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, I heard from one of my rabbeim, who was close with the Chafetz Chaim's grandson, Rav Zaks, that the Chafetz Chaim wanted someone else to write Mishnah Brura. So he came to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, who was the Gadol Ador at the time, and he asked him to write the Mishnah Brura. He felt that there was a need to have clarity in Or HaChaim, and we needed a Posek Achron, and the Chafetz Chaim asked Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. And as far as I heard the story from my Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan said, I'm not prepared to be mafkir my learning for Klal Yisrael. That was his response. What does that mean, to be mafkir your learning for Klal Yisrael? I don't know if you understand, I don't know if I understand, the responsibility of writing a final word in Hapsak Halacha for all of Klal Yisrael at this late stage in the game would basically require somebody, despite their godless, no matter how great they were, to devote years of labor, pain, painstakingly going over and over the sugyas, the rishonim, the postgame, back and forth, up and down, till the point where they virtually could not do anything else. So what Rav Yitzchak Elchanan said was, I'm not prepared to basically give up my life for this project. And my Rebbe said, that was one story you heard, but then later he heard another story, he put the two together. He said, when the Chafetz Chaim finished the Mishnah Berurah, he said the following words. He goes, I was mafkir my learning to Klal Yisrael. I was mafkir my learning to Klal Yisrael. It is an amazing thing, and I think you should appreciate this about your Rabbeim, not me. This week the theme is, and I'll explain to you why it's not me in a second. This time, at the Shmuz, I was like being cute a little bit. I guess I am a Rebbe of some people here, but in this way, I'm not your Rabbeim. I am very happy not to be a Rebbe, and I'll explain why. I don't like wasting my time preparing sugyas for such amounts of time, doing so little material, and making Mar Makomo sheets, and discussing things with Bachrim, and not moving in Shas. I can't do it. I would never, if somebody gave me a Magid Shir position, I would turn it down. I spend the majority of my day learning with private chavrusas, doing what I want. And I'm not willing to be mafkir my learning for Klal Yisrael. You guys think that I was insulting Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, the Gadol Hador. I could relate to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. You don't realize what it is, how difficult it is to be a Rebbe. You have people who, obviously, if they were chosen to be Rebbes, were fantastic in Kailo. They were learning up a storm. All of a sudden, they're moving at a snail's pace, helping out Bachrim. It doesn't matter what yeshiva you're in. It doesn't matter if you're Rav Asher Arieli. Rav Asher Arieli was mafkir is learning for Klal Yisrael. Imagine if Rav Asher Arieli had the Yishev Hadas that he could go through Zroim, Tyrus, right? Imagine Rav Asher Arieli next year learning Maseches Shvius, Benachas, in his home, right? He could come out with a Gevaldike Chibur. It's Yadua that Rav Asher, you know, he focuses on the Yeshiva Masechta. That's tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. You know how there's a joke that they say, I think it's from Rav Beryl Privarsky. He said, in the first machzer in the yeshiva, you know, there's a machzer in yeshivas, they have like a cycle. Some have a 5-year cycle, 6-year cycle, 7-year cycle, whatever it is. It says, when a Rebbe prepares for his first machzer, giving shir, he never puts on his pajamas. Because it's hard work, right? Preparing shir in their first machzer. He goes, but in the second machzer, he never takes his pajamas off. Right? Because now you have notes for the entire thing. It's very hard in round two. Okay, this is like a Rebbe joke. I don't know if you guys can relate to this. But what my point is that it's a job. It's not easy. And I want you to know that about your Rabbeim. They devote their life to their Talmidim. I do not. I'm happy to pop in here and there, give a little schmooze, do this. I do not. And I actually believe it's not my Shorish Neshama. Meaning I'm not doing it just, I actually believe that it's not my Shorish Neshama. My Shorish Neshama is to do what I'm doing. I know that. Not because I spoke to Kabbalists, but because I know myself, who I am. And I know that I'm worthless without going through Shas, and therefore, if I want to be an asset to anyone, I have to keep learning. Otherwise, I will be like just one of these burnt out old guys who nobody will want to speak to in learning anyway. But it's an amazing thing that the Chafetz Chaim did to write about Lashon Hara. We think, wow, if I would have known that Mr. Brewer was such a bestseller. So then, and even the Sefer that I wrote just now, right, which took a lot of time, There's only one reason I had time for it. Corona. Right? I was at home anyway, doing nothing. So it was a good project to keep me off, keep me from getting crazy from my kids jumping off the walls, you know? So, but it's an important thing to realize what your rabbeim are doing. They are literally devoting their lives to the Talmidim. They have morning Seder here in Yeshiva, night Seder in Yeshiva, and what do they do in the afternoon? Probably prepare, which means they devote their entire day to Talmidim. But the Chafetz Chaim, Lefi, his godless, for him to write the Mishnah Brura meant being mafker himself to Klal Yisrael. Okay, so that's something to think about. I wasn't planning on talking about it. However, that's a very valuable lesson. In a lot of times we think that if you're learning Torah, so what's the difference? You learn Torah with the Talmidim, you learn Torah with yourself. It's not the case. There's a lot of Mesiris Nefesh, tremendous Mesiris Nefesh that goes into being a Rebbe. Okay. So what I would like to talk about here is where Lashon Hara was talked about before the Chafetz Chaim. And that has to do with this Parashat Tzaraas. There's an amazing Rambam. And the Rambam, as we know, wrote Mishneh Torah, which is a halachic work. However, the Rambam has a few places where he gives us Musar. Some rare moments in Mishneh Torah, usually at the end of a section of halacha, he goes on a beautiful, not aside, but like conclusion of what we're supposed to get from all these halachas. Most people don't get the chance to see this because they're never learning Hilchos Tzaraas. If you're learning Maseches Negayim, so then you'll end up bumping into this Rambam. But if not, it's a shame. You have to look for these Rambams. Actually, somebody a while back wrote a sefer called Musare HaRambam, where he compiled all the Rambams that are Musar. I think it's an earlier sefer, not like from today. I lost it somewhere in my travels from house to house. I just recently looked for it, so I don't know if it's available to the public. But in those days when I was a bachur, I bought so many svarim, so I had all these things, and then I traveled around. Now I try to learn svarim, and in those days I just bought them. Now I try to learn them, which creates a problem. Now I stop buying any svarim because same thing with planes. When I was younger, I used to go on a plane with a stack of svarim like this, like all excited. And now, bekoshi, I have a pocket mishnayos that like three kids, and I'm like looking at it like that, or I'm just plain sleeping on the plane whenever I can. But it's cute how life just takes you in different directions. But I was thinking like the plane is like, you know, we're going into a gullus of Torah. All right, you'll see, when you can travel alone, it's something very special. When you travel alone, you mamish alone with your svarim, but most of the time, Baruch Hashem, it's not the case. All right, so let's do this Rambam. Let's see what we can do. I gave copies. Did the other get copies of the Rambam? So here we go. We're just going to read a Rambam together. Such an amazing Rambam. That's tucked away in Perek Tes Zayin of Tumas Taras. He says the following. That which the changes in a house, right, in clothes, in the person himself, which the Torah calls tzaras, eino mimin hago shel olam, it's not a natural phenomena or disease. Ela os upela hayim Yisrael kadei lazhira milashin hara. It is a supernatural phenomena that is created, a spiritual disease that's seen in the physical world that comes from Lashon Hara. Now, a lot of people accuse the Rambam, it's like nipple pet to say this, you'll excuse me for saying it, but they accuse the Rambam of being something called a rationalist. I have no idea what this means, but I think because the Rambam was a doctor, so they figure like doctors are very like, you know, they go to college like everybody else. I don't know what they want from the Rambam. However, there are some people, they write that tzaraas, it's leprosy, and they discuss about lepers, how it's contagious, and all these things. And all of that's, in the eyes of the Rambam, it's total narishkeit, because the pshat over here is this is a spiritual disease. It's not like if somebody speaks Lashon Hara, so it's not contagious to get tzaras. The Rambam is being shoylo that tzad over here. He says it's a wonder. The tzaras is a disease that's not in any type of biology textbook, or, you know, it's not in the list of diseases that they know anything about. It just appears. It's an os upela. It's a message from Hashem. In fact, that's why I believe the Sforno points out, we're not zocha to get tzaras today. You have to be a bal madrega to get tzaras, right? Imagine, Yitzi, that, you know, you're having a rough day and Hashem gives you a direct message. Yitzi, let's go, right? That means, I mean, you deserve it, Yitzi, you're a great man. But in our generation, we're not great enough to get those types of messages. If you got tzaras, you realize the attention you're getting from Hashem. It's like you have your own mashkiach, like Hashem is saying, Stark, I don't know, time to get your act together. That's an honor. Today we're not zocha to such, of course Hashem pays attention to us, but we're not able to actually communicate with Hashem. We don't have Nevi'im today, and we don't have mamish, those types of messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone who speaks Lashon Hara, his house changes. Notice how the Rambam writes this. The Rambam's writing it. Of course it changes, right? We know that tzaras appears on the bias. No, what he's trying to say is when you speak Lashon Hara, it affects the walls. You know, you can picture there's like, in Hebrew it's called rituv, when there's moisture in the walls. You know, when like a wall is not healthy, there's mold in it. Right, so the Lashon Hara is getting into the walls. Right, where do people speak Lashon Hara in their houses, Rachman al-San? The Rambam says the walls start changing. I was once with Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, the great Mekubal, who graces our yeshiva many times, and I once walked with him into a house, and he just, it was a very big house somewhere in Yerushalayim, and he just started laughing. He started laughing. So I said, you know, Rebbe, why are you laughing? He said, the walls here are screaming Ava Satira. They're screaming Ava Satira. That was very interesting. That I never heard before. So the walls of a house are very much the environment of the person, which is an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing if you think about it, how the walls are affected. Therefore, Hamasabra Balachinar Mishtanus Kiris Beso, Im Chazerbo, Yitarabayas. If he does tshuva, then the house will become tar. So, meaning there's a process over here. It's not just like you're left with tzaras, like shame on you, it's over. Now Hashem says, warning, let's see how you respond. If you do tshuva, then the tzaras will not increase in size, it will decrease in size, and the house will be tar. And if he made it all the way, third week, boom, and nothing doing, then mishtan and clay or shibabeso. Then his leather, the Rambam goes to leather kalim, will get saras, shu yoshev v'shochev aleim, that he sits on. This is fascinating. The Rambam's focusing on chairs and beds, right? Places where you dwell, im chazer bo yitaru. If he's chazer bo, it'll be tar. Bim amad berishah yisrafu, until they have to burn all of kelim. Mishtanen abegadim shalav. Now the clothes. It's getting more personal. This is like a way of dealing with someone pedagogically. When you teach somebody a lesson, right? You first do it in a subtle way. You first do it in a subtle way. You don't give them a direct message. I this week I felt like I got a subtle musr from a Rebbe of mine. I don't know, I think he meant to give me musr, but I'm not sure. It was so subtle that I have no idea if he meant to. He said to me on the phone, you guys won't understand why I thought this was musr, but in the context of it, he gave me a bracha, you should be zocha to be marva kavod shamayim. And I heard from that I'm not focused enough on kavod shamayim. But it was very gentle. It could be if next week I still persist, maybe you'll start grabbing me by the shirt. Right? Say, Stark, it's time to be Marba Kavod Shamayim. Right? So this is how Hashem does this to us. He first does something external. Then he does it to our chairs, our beds. It's still external. All of a sudden, it's getting a little bit more personal. Right? Right? Avi, it could be a custom-made suit from that Chinaman, you know, that he got. and all of a sudden, boom, it's time to like, even whether it's double-breasted, single-breasted, it doesn't matter. It's going out, Avi, that's it. If we have Saraza, it's a patch. Those things cost money, right? A wrinkle-free shirt, whatever it might be, that nice tie that you got for Hanukkah, boom, Saraza on there, right? That's a patch. All of a sudden, the person's not getting it even then, right? The begadim of a person, the clothes make the man, I don't know. But the clothes are part of a man, for sure. But the clothes that we have are very much part of our expression of self. And now all of a sudden we're finding saras on our clothes. Still not getting the message? Okay. Then his skin changes colors, right? Or he gets any type of saras, there are different types. Now he's got to be alone. He's kicked out of the camp. This is a different type of message. It's not only that his body has a problem, he now has to be in isolation. Meaning, you need to think, buddy. Right? There's a yeshiva I know about where it's a little bit risky to do this, but they have like what they call a gullus for boys who are not behaving. Like when it gets to be too much, they send them out to the north, like alone. Right, it's an interesting way of doing things. Today you can probably get sued for such things. I think they probably have. But it's interesting. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a similar program over here. Meaning there's a point where not only is it affecting the body, so you see your flaw in your face like that. You can take off your shirt or your custom-made shirt or your custom-made suit, but you can't take off your skin. And now you're living with this thing. And now there are halachas that you have to be isolated from people. Ad shelo yisasek b'sichas rishayim. You have no one to shmooze with. The Baal Lashon Haras, he's like, anyone want to hear some juicy Lashon Haras? Like, anybody here? Hello, hello, hello. He's out of the machana, right? He's alone. He has no option to continue his rishus. By the way, it's interesting. People often quote the Chovas Halvavos, that if you say Lashon Hara on someone, that person gets your mitzvos. Has anybody ever heard that before? So I actually heard b'shem Rav Chaim Kanievsky that's only going on someone who's called a Baal Lashon Hara. Not just anyone who says Lashon Hara. It makes a lot of sense, by the way. These things are often quoted without a Havana. All of a sudden, one Lashon Hara, you lose all your mitzvos, they go to a friend. He said, a Baal Lashon Hara. A Baal Lashon Hara, we're dealing with, this is the sugya of Tzaras. It's not dealing with a guy who had one off moment. I mean, Miriam Lefi Madre Gassa. But these are Baalei Lashon Hara. So now, he has no one to speak with. And he can't do Sichas Rishayim. She late sonus for Lashon Hara. This is an amazing Rambam. I wonder how much time we're going to have. Someone will have to signal to me when Rabbi Kalas gets here.
Rabbi Kalas is not coming to tell him to.
Oh, okay, so we have a little bit of time to sink our teeth in, because there's something very big happening in the Rambam over here. The Rambam just did a bow face. He said, and we're going to see more if we get to the end of this Rambam, he adds not just Lashon Hara. What's the other thing that he discusses over here? Right, the Rambam says, Shelo yisasek b'sichas rishayim. What's sichas rishayim? Leitzanos v'lashon hara. What's leitzanos? What does it mean? Joking around. Now, of course it's good to joke around. I'm very good at joking around. I once asked my mashgiach, Rav Naftali Kaplan, if it's bad. When I was younger, I was balancing the milk on my head for breakfast with my kids and speaking like a Japanese guy, exchange student from Japan. And I do this often. And I was nervous that I'm going to make my kids into leitzim. Which I think I probably did. Unfortunately, no, I'm just joking. But I asked him, is that leitzanus? He said, chas v'shalom. Says, that's a simcha d'kas. And then he showed me what leitzanus he does, quote unquote. He says, leitzanus is taking something that's chashuv, that's kadosh, and being mezalzalit. Having a good sense of humor is a very powerful and very good asset. Very important for simchas hachayim, actually. And... Actually, today I became a vekar in yeshiva, and my kids made a macha this morning. They said that we're going to lose out because it's very fun the way I wake them up. So they didn't want that I should be now waking you guys up. Don't worry, I didn't do it to you. It's fun. You guys are like tougher, but they, with them, it's, you know, it's geschmack. You wake up in the morning with simchas achayim, that's very healthy for kids to always be in a house filled with laughter. But leitzanus is where you take something kadosh and make it you make it cheap. Actually, I try to teach my kids there are certain songs, you know, that are leitzanus. So if they take a kadosh song and they have new words for it, you know, they, kids do that. They sometimes people do it in benching, like in camps. They have like a you know, I'll just give you the example, just not that I'm doing it, but instead of Rabosai Nevarech, they have rubber tires never break, right? These are like classic. So I told them that that's Leitzanus. So Leitzanus is the way of Rishayim. Why is the Rama bringing this now in Hilchos Tzaras? Because there's a connection between people who speak Lashon Hara and people who speak Leitzanus. What's the common denominator between these two things? Leitzanus, you take things that are chashuv and you put them to the ground. Lashon Hara, you take people. All people are chashuv and you put them to the ground. They're very, it's like a negativity that comes in both of these things. When Rishayim speak, it doesn't matter if they're speaking about Leitzanus or Lashon Hara, and you'll be shocked how far the Rambam's going to take this in a second, which I heard this Rambam read to me by none other, the next part of the Rambam, than my great Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal. He read through this Rambam, the next part of the Rambam, if we get to it, we'll see. But already this point, he was medayik, that all of a sudden we're dealing with late sonnas. Be careful not to get saras. Don't forget what happened to Miriam. Harei Omer, he's boninu. Think about life. Ma ira le Miriam and Avia, the halig of Miriam, shedibra ba'achia. She spoke bad about her brother. Now, what's the first thing you would say is, wait a second. If I have a great, we're good. Me and my sis, we're close. Right? I'm close with my sister, I'm close with my brother. So if we have an off moment, you'd say that let's let it slide. So wait. She Gedola Mimenu, his older sister. Listen to every word of the Rambam over here, what he's accentuating over here, what he's being madgish. She was his older sister, Bishanim. Vigidlo, so she raised him. Entitlements, right? I could say something about my brother. I raised him. I was his role model. Right? Whenever you're a role model, you feel like, by the way, that's the biggest type of Lashon Hara that goes on in the world is in, unfortunately, teachers' rooms. Teachers' rooms in schools have the most Lashon Hara. Do you know why? Because everyone thinks they're speaking L'shem Chinuch. And it's very hard. Rabbeim have to train themselves to really make it this. It gets very easy to speak about everybody, every bacher, every this. Like, whoa. Like, if this is not really needed, this is mamish lashon hara. You're not just getting, like, a free pass. But she raised him, al birchel, on her knees. V'sikna ba'atzma. She endangered her life, lahatzilo min hayam. Right? To be matzil him min hayam, right? From the gzera of paro. So imagine how much Moshe owed her. That entitlement sometimes makes you feel, this is incredible, listen to the deep psychology of the Torah. There's an entitlement over here. If anyone can make a ha'ara about my kid brother, it's me. I raised him. I saved his life. His whole life is because of me. V'hilo dibra bignuso. She didn't even insult him. Ella tosh. She made a mistake. Shehishvis oso l'shar neviim. She thought he was like every other Navi. What did she say? This is just not done. You don't leave your wife, right? You don't leave your wife when you're a Navi. And by the way, it's totally unprecedented. It's actually against the Jewish religion. We don't believe in celibacy. We don't believe that holy people have to separate themselves from their wives. We hold the opposite, that Kedusha comes from having a real, beautiful, bias Navi Yisrael. And she just thought, hey, wait a second. What's Moshe doing? I'm a Navi. Aaron's a Navi. Moshe's a Navi. We're all part of the same team. She made a mistake. And she's like, what? in the sugya of Navi. She didn't realize Moshe Rabbeinu's darga of nevuah, of what's called Asbachlaria Hameira. Moshe had no mechitzis in his nevuah, meant that he had a different shulchan aruch in Navi. So she was having like a machlokis in the sugyas of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah when the Rambam discusses what's the halacha of a Navi and how he deals with his wife. Right? Can imagine? That's Lashon Hara. Sounds like a machlokis you could have in the Beis Medrash. Behilo Dibber B'Gnusa Atas Shehishmizus on the Shar Neviim V'hulo Machbid. And also, sometimes you think we're good because the person who I spoke about, he's easygoing. If he doesn't care that I spoke about him, look, he even heard the Lashon Hara said, he goes, it's okay. Stark said that about me. He loves me, Stark. And you know what? He even saved my life. I'm good. So he started to feel like, hey, it's not a big deal what I did. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't Machbid. He didn't even Al-Kolelu. You think he cared about this Kleinekite? They want to tie her that I'm like a regular Navi. Beseder! My sister, she saved my life. I'm going to care if she has a tine on me, right? Sisters always have tines on their brothers. What's the big deal, right? Alatash ishvizazo l'shar neviim. V'hulo haya makbid al kol elu advarim sh'nemar v'ish Moshe anav ma'od. Fascinating. The Rambam says, when it says Moshe is an anav, it means he didn't care. No, it doesn't. It says he's humble. What does it mean? The Rambam is saying a beautiful uptight in why the Torah tells us Moshe is humble. Humble people let things slide. It's unbelievable, by the way. That's how it works. When you're a humble person, you're like, you know what? If Tully said this about me, Tully's probably right. You know, a humble person will say, like, Tully's got a point. Instead of hearing, like, you can't talk to me about that like that way, Tully. Right? Instead, he's like, wow, Tully's right. I really have to get my act together, right? Moshe was an anav, means he wasn't machbid, right? Which actually Rashi al Torah, when he's mafarish the word anav, you know what he says? Savloi. An anav is someone who can endure. That's an interesting thing. They didn't tell me that humility is enduring. The answer is yes. You want to go to a chasner, your wife's busy with her sheitel for 3 hours, right? Efshar Azai and Efshar Azai, you want to get there. You know, you wanted to be at the Chassan Tish, who was your closest friend in yeshiva, right? The clock's ticking, right? You need a lot of patience, but you need a lot of humility. Like, yes, Stark, you're now part of a family. There's a bigger picture over here. Women need to look nice at a chasana, and the world was not created for you. That allows you to endure more. When you're humble, you endure. Listen to what the Rambam does. Right? This is why we don't have to learn psychology, my friends. All we have to do is read a Rambam. We don't need all this. The Rambam writes in one half sentence what all the psychologists would wish to write. Look at this. Right? You just have to know how to read a Rambam. So the Rambam says he wasn't Machbid, Shenemar of Ish Moshe, un of Ma'od. Vafal Pichin Miyad Nen Shebitzaras. Despite all of this, despite that she was his older sister, that she saved him, that he was so good with her and wasn't involved in this Kleinekite, Hashem said, shame on you. And boom, she got Saras. Again, Lufi her Madrega, right? For us, we speak, this is like our good day. If we would speak like Miriam, that's the whole point of the Rambam. He's trying to show you how, if you think this is Lashon Hara, trying to show you a million reasons why this should not have been Lashon Hara. That's his goal over here. Meaning, halavai by us on a good day to do this. But Miriam spoke negatively about her brother Moshe. Kal v'chomer levnei adam arishoyim v'atipshim shemar bin ledaber gedolos v'neflos. Rishoyim and tipshim. Rishoyim, I understand. The Rambam says they're evil. What about tipshim? They're stupid? Yeah. A lot of people, by the way, when they speak, it's just the stupidity. A lot of times, the people who just go on and on, they're showing stupidity. Like, what are you saying? Just like, what are you saying? And he's this, and he's that, and I heard this, and then I heard that. Like, just be quiet. Like, you're dumb. A lot of it is not just vicious, it's not just stupidity. Like, do you know what he did? Did you check the details? Did you speak to the right people? Like, you're a fool. Like, what are you doing? Just aside from being a Russia, I'm just an idiot. A lot of these people who are talebearers, actually you see their stupidity more than their rishas. They're just I stop getting insulted by a lot of these people. People call me. There was somebody who called me that the guy's constantly getting insulted by a certain person in his shul. You'll excuse me for my etza, but I guess it's based on this Rambam. I said, don't worry, that guy's an idiot. You don't get insulted by idiots. Right? You have somebody whose head is not straight, and he's in the park lying on a bench, and he's barking at you. You get insulted? Like, something's wrong with you if you get insulted by such a person. This guy, every kiddush, he has something stupid to say. So it happens to be the stupid thing today is about you. But he says stupid things about everyone. I never get insulted by people who choose to say stupid things about me if they say it about everyone. Because if they pick mamish me out of everyone, they never say anything negative about anyone. Like, Stark, you are a buffoon. You're so bald that the sun like just reflects and blinds me. Like, if he would have said that about every bald guy, but if he picks just me, so then I start to, like, get self-conscious. I'm like, wait, is there sun reflecting off my head right now? What's going on? Right? But there's stupidity over here. So that's my eitza for dealing with these people at kiddushes. Don't be insulted by these people. Their just mouth just goes on autopilot. They have nothing to offer to anybody. And they're not man to amrim bichlal. It's just noise, background noise. Lefikach roya the misharatza. I'm so happy we're making headway in the Rambam. Lefikach roya the misharatza the chavin orchav. Whoever wants to fix his ways, this rachik mishivasan. He has to stay away from these things, from these dwellings like kiddush clubs and those things. Umeladaber imayin kadesh lo yitvas adam bereshis rishayim v'sekluzim. So doesn't become trapped in their rishas. By the way, that's why kiddush clubs by nature are behind the eight ball, because they pick the Haftorah. A lot of times they do the Kiddush during Haftorah. Is that known in some places? So already they're behind the eight ball because they already were moring in a part of Davening, which means this is already a Yeshivas Rishayim, because it's against the Takanas Chazal to officially have a exit during a time during Tefillah. That means by nature you can expect a lot of Lashon Hara in a Kiddush club. By nature, because it's actually a form of a rebellion. If it's a kiddush club that's after davening, then fine. But if it's a kiddush club during davening, it's starting behind the eight ball. Listen to this, Rambam. This is now where my Rebbe Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal started reading from, and I hope we'll be able to cover it. This is the way of yeshivas leitzim and rishayim. Notice again, we're in Hilchos Saras, and he's bringing leitzim again, right? Ari, you were just medayik that yourself? I saw that nod. Beautiful. First, they just speak about nothing. You know, vusas nayas. I just what's going on over here, right? Through the narishkeit, they start to speak disparagingly against tzaddikim. My Rebbe asked, what happened in the Rambam? How does that work? Why, when you start with narishkeit, do you all of a sudden start speaking against the rabbi's drasha? Which, by the way, should happen in kiddush clubs, because it's like perfect timing. Right after the rabbi's drasha, or whatever, Shabbos is, you hear a lot of things to... How'd that happen? You were just talking about the Rangers and the Knicks, and then all of a sudden, let's speak about the rabbi's drasha. How'd that happen? So my Rebbe said, if I remember correctly, that the first things, narishkeit, is already a zilzal. When you use your mouth for stupidity, you're already putting things down. The way you speak, you're already lowering your level of who you are with your dibur. You're speaking a dover batel. What does the word batel mean? My Rebbe said, varim betelim. There's only, I don't want to get too into it, but a word that's batel, a word that's dead. It has no meaning. So already you took words, which are a very important thing in your life, and you spoke about narishkeit. So you've already begun a process of pushing things down. So now we graduate and we move to tzaddikim. And we start pushing down tzaddikim. Rachman al-Tzlan. U'mitokak yela and hergel l'dabr b'nevi'im. They say, let's start talking about nevi'im. Whoa. Like, what happened over here? V'litein dofi b'divrayim. Kinyan shenemar v'yu ma'alivim b'malachei al-kim u'bozim dvar b'tatim b'nevi'im. They start making fun of... Sir, then I'm like, oh, come on, you can't swim? You're going to build a raft. You build a raft. We can build a raft. Like, what's going on over here, right? You know, like Rabbi Wiener is talking about medicine. Like, I'm gonna grind medicine. Like, I can't have an ad. Gonna grind medicine. This is how people, like, they go into a process, taking Matike Hashmua, and boom, they start being mizalzim. Mitokach boim ledaber elokim. They start speaking about Hashem. Like, ooh, like, they sound philosophical, like, the Holocaust, you know, this and that, right? Bad things happening, and bekofrim beikar. They start saying, ke'inyan shenemar v'chafim ne Yisrael dvar mesher lo kein al Hashem elokeichem. They start making things up about Hashem. Can you imagine this process? My Rebbe was blown away by this process. All from starting with just a yeshiva about just Narishkeit, everything goes. Vareyu omer shesubis b'shamayim piyim l'shonim telach ba'aretz ki garm lem l'shis b'shamayim piyim l'shonim shalcha tchila ba'aretz. Zuhi sichas rishayim shegorems lem yeshivas kronos. It causes them to sit on corners. We always love to talk about street corners, right? You always find the street corners are the places where people hang out. Yeshivas kenes yishalam ba'aretz, places where you get together as amaratim. Yeshivas batei mishtos, bars. The Rambam talks about bars over here. Im shosei sheikhar, with people who drink beer. I think it's a new phenomenon. For some reason, where there's beer, there's trouble. Here, it's trouble in lashon hara. Fascinating. The Rambam in other places says that alcohol leads to problems in arayas. Here, the Rambam says that alcohol leads to your mouth shooting off, right? It's just a certain atmosphere where you just feel like you could say whatever is on your mind in a bar. Even if it's like a mechubadik, a bar. It's a certain, like, there's upper scale bars and there are lower scale bars, even upper scale bars. Like a Kiddush club is basically an upper scale bar. That's really what it is. That's a base mishtos. Okay. Aval, sichas ksheire Yisrael! The conversations of ksheirim, regular yidin, kushers, vitzit tzadikeim, and tzadikim, but first, regular yidin, ksheirim. Eina ela b'divrei Torah v'divrei Chachma. Divrei Torah is one thing. Here it's Mashma, the Rambam has two categories. Divrei Torah and Divrei Chachma. I've asked many about this. Let's assume now Divrei Chachma is not Torah. It's not Torah, which is a big discussion. Divrei Torah and Divrei Chachma, meaning it's the opposite of Dvarim B'Talim. You speak things that are tachlis. You're talking to your friend about, you know, you're giving him an etzah, you know, you have a stomach problem, you know, if you wake up in the morning and drink a few glasses of water, it'll help things. By the way, I got this etzah from someone, and I've given it to others. They told me it's an amazing thing, when you get up in the morning, to have a few cups of water before everything. If you have any types of problems, it's a big refuah. The body gets a tremendous amount of water. Before you're eating breakfast, it can go through the system, very healthy. If you're saying something like that, that's divrei chachma. Why? You're helping people. So you're saying something. You're saying something. You're not saying Narishkeit. So Ksheri Yisrael are always doing things that have purpose. They're conversations of purpose. They're conversations of depth. They don't have to be Dafka and Divrei Torah, but there's content. There's content, which is the opposite of this whole process of first stupidity, then being Meganet Tzadikim, being Meganet Nevi'im, and then being Kofar Ba'Hashem. Rachmana Litzlan. Hashem is helping them. People have conversations. Hashem marks them down as special people, the people who know how to use their mouths. So this is what my Rebbe said. He was amazed by the Rambam's Mahalach over here, that it all starts from a Dover Batel. He says, words are so powerful that when someone's not machshiv their words and just thinks they could spew and spew and spew, then they've already begun a process of being mezalzel life and kedusha. Because the definition of a man, the Targum says, on Adam, ruach memalala. What does ruach memalala mean? The power of speech. Man is defined by his power of speech. And the first stage of going down this downward spiral is not being careful with our words, what we are saying. and then a person goes and goes. So here we've learned so much from this Rambam. I'm so excited that we made it through the whole Rambam together. I had no thought that that would happen. Hashem had rachmim on us. And this is something that the Chafetz Chaim really put on the map for us. And we should be machazik ourselves, because obviously we're a dar that very much needs to work on this. The words today are spread so fast. A person, I've heard from guys, it's so sad, because high school boys or younger who have no seichel, they put out mass emails. I've heard Bachram tell me stories. They were traumatized from people taking, you know, a video at a sleepover party and just taking their friend who was doing something dumb and just sending it to thousands of people. Like, the amount of power we have with our communication today is so frightening. It's like giving a child a button to drop an atomic bomb. That's the nature of the power we have of Lashon Hara today. We literally are given nuclear warfare. And it's very scary, but of course there's so many positives that come from words and from the ability to get out a message. And we have to use those assets. The Rambam writes that Mashiach can come without any miracles. And you wonder, like, how do you get the word out? Right? Imagine telling someone 150 years ago, Mashiach's going to come and just bring everyone back. Like, how's he going to communicate to everyone? Like, how's this going to happen? You're just going to, like, there'll be like a mass WhatsApp. Like, you'll just call, we're going to call Google up and say, listen, Mashiach's here, and just give us over all your coolest tricks. And in basically a couple seconds, the entire world will know it's time for Mashiach, and let's proceed. Everyone go to JFK, and we're heading to Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh. This is what's going to happen, actually. It's going to be very normal like that. Like Google's just going to give up their Shlita, and they'll just explain very quickly how all this their toys work. And Gamarna, we're going to Mashiach Tzidkenu.